Back to My Garden, episode 46.
Welcome to Back to My Garden. Discover your passion for gardening. Here's Dave Ledoux.
Are you concerned about toxic chemicals, GMOs, and frankenfood? Don't panic. Grow organic. Discover my new resource for organic gardeners. Go to www.backtomygarden.com/myorganic. Attention, garden lovers. Do you want to save time, save money, and have your most amazing garden ever? Receive free tips, strategies, and gardening techniques from passionate gardeners around the world. Join the VIP club for free today at www.backtomygarden.com/VIP. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world when you listen to this. I'm Dave Ledoux, and welcome to another edition of Back to My Garden today. We're heading up to Minnesota, Northfield, Minnesota, which is south of Minneapolis. Our guest Mary is a writer, a blogger, editor of Northern Gardener, the premier magazine for cool weather gardeners, since 1866. By the way, her recipe on her blog for red pepper relish is tremendous. I want to welcome to the show Mary Scheer. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Dave.
Excited to have you on the show today.
Great. I'm glad to be here.
Now, I gave you a brief introduction. I want to hear your story, and our listeners want to get to know you as well. Mary, take a minute or two. Share with us a little bit about your background and how you got into gardening.
Okay. Well, I'm one of those unusual garden writers who did not grow up in a gardening family. My mother had a lot of kids, and that's what she raised rather than a garden. So I didn't actually start gardening until I owned a home. And the first house that my husband and I bought together was owned by a man who was a very serious rose grower. And he had lovely roses all over the yard. And when we first bought the house, he took us around and told us how he handled his roses. And he did what was known as the Minnesota tip, which involves digging a ditch or digging a little trench next to where the rose is, tipping up the roots of the rose and burying the rose under dirt and leaves all winter long. It looks like you have a bunch of graves in your yard when you do the Minnesota tip. And, you know, I was young. We had a little kid very soon thereafter. There was no way I was going to do the Minnesota tip. So I kind of struggled along trying to keep his garden going. And then I discovered there were other plants that worked a lot better for me. And I planted a rose called Sir Thomas Lipton, which is a very old-fashioned, creamy white rose that requires absolutely no care. You put it up, and as a young person with, you know, a lot of other obligations, I found that growing a plant that worked for my lifestyle and my soil and my climate was just perfect, because then I could have the joy of growing the rose and not have to feel like I was a failure every time I walked outside the door. And sort of since then, I've learned a lot more about gardening, obviously. But I still kind of abide by that policy of choosing the plants and that work where I am and with what my lifestyle is at that particular moment of my life. And I've been gardening now pretty seriously for about 25 years almost.
Wow, brilliant. Yeah. Mary, we have a lot of people listening to this in their cars. They're trying to write the word Minnesota tip on their phone with their thumb while they're driving. So Right. Don't keep both hands on the wheel. All of the links will be up on the resource page on the blog, including yeah. Mary's Twitter. You're very active on Twitter at Mary Scheer, which is MarySCHIER. Your blog is outstanding. It's www.mynortherngarden.com. And we're going to have links to Sir Thomas Lipton in the Minnesota tip already. I've been taking notes while you've been doing your intro. Right. Tell us about, let's start with Northern Garden, because this is such a unique story. You're a gardener's gardener, and so zone specific, but is it right, 140 plus years?
Yes, Northern Gardener magazine, under other names, but we've been Northern Gardener for about 15 or 20 years, is the publication of the Minnesota State Horticultural Society, and that's been around since 1866. The publication started not too long after that. We publish articles very specific to gardeners in zones 3 and 4, which is Minnesota is in both of those zones, but also places like North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Montana, and of course our friends in Canada. So we have subscribers everywhere from Maine to Montana in the U.S. and then all across Canada as well.
Sorry, it's a gorgeous print magazine on newsstands as well as a blog. Let's give the listeners your blog URL.
Right. The Northern Gardener magazine has a blog called Notes for Northern from Northern Gardener, and it's blog.northerngardener.org. But you can also find a link from the Northern Gardener website as well.
.org. Okay, good.
.org, because the Minnesota State Horticultural Society is a nonprofit organization. This is not a for-profit publication. We have about 12,000 members in the Horticulture Society. They do a lot of volunteer work and other outreach work to educate gardeners in Minnesota and to kind of encourage gardening. One of our most successful projects is called Garden in a Box, and we've got more than 300 of these garden boxes all around Minnesota. They're given to low-income families, also to schools, to community gardens. You get the box, which is actually kind of a plastic container, soil and plants to encourage people to do vegetable gardening. So it's a fantastic program, and the Horticulture Society supports that with some other co-sponsors as well. But their mission is to reach out and educate and inspire gardeners who are in this very unforgiving climate that we have up in Minnesota.
When you say unforgiving, we have listeners from all over the world, and yes, we have people in Singapore listening to this who are, 60 degrees and they're wearing their hat and parkas. What is the climate like? Just and be bleak, and there's right. People that haven't seen snow.
Oh my.
What is zone 3 like in real life?
Well, in real life, zone 3 would be up in like northwestern Minnesota. Winter, the first frost would probably occur sometime in middle to late September. You would be in really cold weather by the 1st of November or into November. You would be in the deep freeze all the way from December. And by the deep freeze, I mean it can drop down to minus 20 Fahrenheit. And my Celsius conversion isn't that good, but that's pretty cold. Minus 20 Fahrenheit or minus 30 Fahrenheit. And so it gets very, very cold for a very long time. And that's why we have a lot of gardeners here, because the minute it gets warm enough to plant something and grow something, people want to get out and do it.
Do you remember the feeling of that first sunny day in early March? Like it warms up,
well,
like it's delusional.
It would be early April here, but yes, I do. Yeah.
Oh, no, I know there's still 2 feet of snow in the garden, but you're so optimistic.
Right. Well, I have to say, the longer I've been gardening, the more I've just said, you know, I have to accept what my climate is. So I don't plant my tomatoes out, for instance, until first week of June. Maybe, you know, the books all say plant them out at May 15th. No way. It can still get pretty cold here, and they really won't grow until you get into June.
You said something profound. That's going to be tweetable, is to accept what the climate gives you.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that's really my whole approach to gardening, is to accept the climate that I have, the soil that I have in my particular garden, which when we first moved here, it was a new home. And in our area, what they do when they build new homes on cornfields is they strip all the black dirt off of the cornfield and sell that. And then you get terrible soil. I spent 5 years just adding compost and adding compost until I got a worm. That was the very happy day, the first day I saw a worm in my soil. So you accept the climate you have, the soil you have, and the life you have. You know, my kids are grown up now. I have a lot more time, and I have a lot more garden than I ever had when I had little kids. So you kind of have to, but I think no matter where you are, you know, you can grow something in a pot. Even if you're very busy and you don't have much room, you can still grow something and get the joy that comes from gardening, really, and from growing food or plants or flowers.
I was poking around on your blog, and you have recipes, you have gardening mm-hmm. tips. How long have you been blogging about gardening?
Since 2007.
Good for you. That, in internet years, that's a long time.
Yes. I wasn't in the first wave. I think I was in the second wave of garden bloggers.
When things worked, yeah.
When things started to work,
things
right.
Things worked, yeah. Good, good. Yeah. I really liked your relish recipe.
Thank you.
Can you grow peppers where you are?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. You can grow them. I mean, you start them indoors, or probably in late March, you would start the seeds indoors, kind of nurture them along. I grow most of my vegetables in raised beds, which the soil gets a little warmer early on. You have to be pretty careful with them to get a pepper. But yeah, sure, you can get a pepper if you're careful.
Can you talk a little bit about hardening? Do you take your seedlings in and out in the...
Yes, yes, I do. Yeah. You know, in a northern climate, you want to start your seeds indoors for things like tomatoes and peppers that really need a longer growing season than we have. So you start them indoors, and then in, you know, maybe around middle to late May, you start taking them in and out of the house, and that's called hardening off. And some people will use a little garden box with some kind of a lid on it and put it outside. But I actually have my plants on a trolley with wheels, and I push this thing in and out of my deck door. And I'll pull the plants out and let them sit out on the deck during the day. And then when it gets cold, we push them back into the house. And it seems to work pretty well, actually. It's a lot less work than hauling the pots. So I actually have them on a tiered shelf with wheels to get them in and out. But you definitely have to harden the plants off. Otherwise, you put them outside and they faint in the garden. They get in the cold soil and they just kind of pass out. They don't do it. And then they'll sit there and not grow for a long, long time. It'd take a few weeks.
When you were describing the Minnesota tip for roses, you can sort of trench out the tomato plants in a similar mm-hmm. fashion when it's chilly and you've hardened them off. And just a note to listeners, if you're doing hardening off, remember to get them sunny as well. Ours got sunburnt one year. We hardened them off, but in the shade.
Yes. And that's why I use my deck, because it's slightly shaded. And it gets some shade, and then it gets a little sun in the afternoon, and so I can adjust both the shade as well as the cold. Because, if you're in bright sunlight all of a sudden, the plants are so unhappy when you do that to them.
I hope my friend E. Ray is listening. He's in Zone 9, right where Texas meets Mexico.
Right.
And he was telling me about his challenges with his baby bananas.
Oh.
And we're talking about... rolling in cartloads in and out every single day for a month.
Right.
It's hard for people to even relate unless you've lived in Zone 3 or 4. What was your first garden like when you got your first house?
Well, like I said, it was a fully developed house that someone else had developed. And so it was really his garden. And I just lived there as I slowly killed off all the roses. But eventually we had young children at the time. So we went with a pretty simple yard with some shrubs around the foundation and a couple of containers. And then I got very interested in vegetable gardening and herb gardening. So I planted asparagus, which I love. You know, it's a perennial that comes up and it's wonderful. And then the foliage is so pretty when it's done being a food. You have this beautiful foliage. And I grew a lot of herbs and tomatoes. So I mostly started out as a vegetable gardener. The other thing I started doing when I first started gardening is I stopped using chemicals. And that was mostly because we had kids and they played outside. And so I began using for our lawn corn gluten meal as a weed and feed in the spring of the year. And I don't know if you're familiar with corn gluten meal, but it's an organic option. You can put it down just like you would weed and feed at the same time you would put down a weed and feed on your lawn. And it's a byproduct of corn. And it does actually sort of stop a lot of the spring weeds that you get in our climate. So it does a pretty good job of keeping the weeds down, and it's a great fertilizer. And I soon discovered it was also a great way to attract animals to your yard. Because after the first year of using the corn gluten meal, we had frogs and snakes and all sorts of wonderful critters in our yard, which was wonderful fun because we had kids. But I also really thought, wow, that made a difference, that little change of going from the lawn service to the corn gluten meal on our lawn made a big difference. And so I've been a mostly organic gardener ever since then.
Wow. That's a good tip, Mary. You were organic before organic was cool. That's I loved how you were candid about killing the roses, because a lot of people look at you as an expert and think that everything you touch just grows. But we really relate to mistakes in the garden. Have you ever had what I call a catastrophic oopsie, or done something so wrong in the garden that you can look back now and laugh at it?
Well, I've done a lot of those. I've had a lot of catastrophic oopsies. I'll tell you one I did recently, and I'm just going to be really honest about this. We have a piece of property behind our house that is kind of a pond. There's a pond, and there's some city property. It's kind of a... well, it's really a weed field. It's supposed to be sort of a little prairie. And I thought, oh, I'm going to make a meadow out of that. So I got out there and I started kind of killing off a few plants. And I put in some seeds and I put in some other kinds of plant. I planted out some prairie plants. And the next year, I thought, this is going to be great. Well, not really. What happened is I actually just brought up a whole bunch of different weeds. The weeds that had been there, which was ragweed and some really nasty stuff, they were gone. I got rid of those. But a whole bunch of different kinds of weeds, clovers and things that weren't good stuff. So I'm still actually working on that meadow and trying to figure out how to plant stuff in there and not keep bringing up more weeds. But because, again, we are on an area that was a fairly new property, we had no idea what was underneath the soil. And the answer is a lot of weed seeds, just a lot of weed seeds. So still working on that one. But I kill plants all the time. And it just, you know, the key to that is don't buy anything you can't afford to kill. No, I start a lot of my annuals from seeds, because seeds are cheap. You know, a couple of bucks gets you an awful lot of marigolds or pansies or whatever you're going to grow from seed. So I don't buy anything that I can't afford to kill.
That is fantastic advice, especially for the new gardener.
We get right
emotionally attached to that first plant, and when it doesn't make it, it's devastating.
Yeah, and I think you really have to. I mean, the only thing we did, you know, I really do mourn it if we've only lost one tree since we've been out here, and I think that was a problem of where the tree was sited. I hate to see a tree that's badly planted and then dies, because a tree is like a major investment, and it's also a major...
You know, Mary, one of the initiatives I know you're passionate about is this idea of gardening in groups, as much right for brainstorming and support as anything. Tell us a little bit about this idea. It's fascinating.
Well, one thing I discovered after I started working with the Horticulture Society, and I was hired to edit Northern Gardener magazine because I'm a editor, not so because I was a great gardener. But after I had been working with the magazine for about a year, I remember sitting out on the front porch one day and my husband looked around and said, you know, our yard looks great. And I said, hey, knowledge is power, babe. That's what happens when you start learning about gardening, being around other people who are gardeners. And I was learning a lot from the staff of the Horticulture Society, from our volunteers who are just wonderful, knowledgeable gardeners. And the same thing happens when people get into garden clubs and other community gardens for vegetable gardening. And we have a lot of community gardens around here where people can rent a plot of land. And they learn from other gardeners because those people know about that specific area and they've had experience. And you get to share ideas and experiences. And I think that just makes gardening much more satisfying, and you're much more likely to be successful when you're working with other gardeners. So I'm a big fan of gardening in groups, and think if you're a beginning gardener, one of the best things you can do is find a mentor or join a community garden so you get other people to help you out while you're starting out.
Fantastic. Yeah, it makes sense. If you hang around with barbers, you're going to get a haircut. If you hang around with gardeners, you're going to get some good ideas. Gardeners love to trade and give stuff away. And
they do. It's they amazing. Do.
Yeah. Yeah. Like zucchinis in the fall. We had a zucchini challenge this year. Every plant only had male flowers.
Oh, wow.
We never got a single zucchini.
I wonder why that happened. I mean, I've known people to go out and actually sort of do a little pollination of their zucchini. If they thought things weren't happening enough, they'll go out and they'll kind of shake the flowers around or brush from one flower to another to try to get zucchini. But no lady zucchinis at all.
No lady zucchinis.
That's too bad.
I got a recipe, though, where you take the flour and then you deep fry it like Italian mm-hmm. style. And
it's delicious.
Yeah, the recipe. I'm really in love with the eating side of the garden. And I wanted to ask you about your garden this year. Two main questions. What are you most proud of? Mm-hmm. And is there anything frustrating you?
Well, one thing that I'm really proud of this year, I've had great luck with herbs. Mm. And I love herbs. I love preserving herbs. In fact, I just did a post on my blog about preserving herbs because I just think they're so good for you. They're so delicious and they're so easy to grow in the right conditions. And then you can preserve them and you've got fresh parsley. I preserve it in oil and, you know, chop it up real fine, almost like a pesto. You get fresh parsley or fresh basil. I have lemon verbena I'm growing this year, which you put that, steep those leaves in like a sugar syrup and pour it into a drink of some kind. Wonderful. You get just wonderful essence of lemon in the garden. So I really enjoy cooking from the garden. And this year I've grown a lot of herbs and had some pretty good luck with them. I'm also starting this year. I also did my first cutting garden, which is a garden that's devoted exclusively to flowers you're going to cut and bring into the house. I read a couple of the books about it and I thought that sounds like fun. And it's been wonderful to have gladiolas and zinnias and great big sunny sunflowers in the house. So that's something I'm going to continue to do. This year I've had a little trouble with my tomatoes. And also I've just had a big weed infestation, but that's my fault because I was gone for about 2.5 weeks in June on a trip that was kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity. So I was gone. And when you're gone in June in Minnesota, the weeds really, they get going. So I've kind of fought them back, but it's going to be a tough year weed wise here.
The cutting garden is, that sounds amazing. It attracts all the pollinators.
Oh my gosh. There is a bee crisis and that's definitely true, but there's not one in my backyard. Between the cutting garden and then I also grow raspberries. I love fruit gardening and raspberries are a wonderful plant here in the north to grow because you get a lot of fruit out of them. And the pollinators just go crazy for the raspberries. That's
I'm going to be selfish, but it'll help the listeners. I love raspberries, and I know nobody can see me pointing, but I'm pointing at my garden, 3 little stalks from Walmart, and now it's amazing. Do you cut it back? Do you just fence them in with string? It's on the verge of getting out of my control now, so I know I'm going to have to tend it a little bit this season or in the spring.
The raspberries that I grow are fall raspberries, so they all come on, actually next week is when they really come on. Okay. And they're all ready to just ripen up and be ready to be picked, and I freeze them and I preserve them in a couple different ways. So I do cut those back. I'll wait until almost November, you know, as long as we don't have snow, I'll go out there and cut those way back. And then just let them come up and be fall raspberries. I also do have a trellis system. Mm. Mine needs a bit of repair, but it does really help to hold them up because they'll flop all over the place otherwise.
That's what mine are like. Yeah, they're 6 feet tall and floppy.
Right. And there are a number of designs you can find on the web. And I think that's where I found the design for the trellis. But it's basically a couple of posts and some wires to hold them up to keep them off the ground.
Talk about low stress but high reward. I mean, yeah. I just love. And you're not kidding about the bees, like giant bumblebees. They just collide with you. You know how they're just kind of goofy flyers on a good day. And I go back there. I'm getting about a margarine jar every other day.
Wonderful. You
know, those margarine containers. But
yep. Yep.
Yeah.
No, raspberries are a great plant for people that are interested in pollinators. And I've actually been converting a lot of my garden over to more kind of prairie plants and pollinator friendly plants. And it's fun to watch the bees and the dragonflies and the butterflies and the hummingbirds all come into your yard. And if you've got the right stuff, they'll come.
That's nice. That's nice. Good. I'm glancing at the clock and we're getting to the point in the show where we play a game called Five Quick Questions.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you get to share your wisdom and experience with novice gardeners. Are you ready to play?
Okay, I'm ready.
Question number one. In your opinion, what do you think stops most people from even trying gardening?
Fear of failure. They think it's too hard, and it's really not. Plants want to grow.
In your first year, did anything not grow that you tried to grow?
Lots of things didn't grow, but other things did. And so, you know, if you've got the right plant in the right place, it will grow.
Nice. Just don't quit.
Mm-hmm.
Number two. What's the single best piece of gardening advice you've ever received?
This is going to be kind of a specific piece of advice, but I have some plants that get kind of tall and flop over. And I got a piece of advice from Don Ingebrigtsen, who's the Renegade Gardener. And he says, cut those plants, like Russian sage, for instance, off in mid-June. You just give them a little shearing. You cut about one-third of them off in mid-June. They will still flower, they'll still be beautiful, and they won't flop over. That was a great piece of advice.
Wow, that's almost sacrilege. You know, there's whole books on when you're supposed to cut. Don't cut things in a month ending and why, and all these old wives' tales.
Yeah.
Renegade Gardener. Okay, Don, you're going to get a link on the blog for that. That's good.
He deserves one.
Well, let's stretch it out in question three, because do you have any friends who are brilliant garden bloggers or maybe one or two good resource websites that you can recommend?
Right. I have a lot of good garden bloggers I could recommend for northern gardeners specifically. I'm going to list two to start with. One is called northerngardening.com. And it's a website run by Terry Yockey. She's a Minnesota gardener, a master gardener. She is a real pioneer in garden websites. And so she has a very deep, rich website full of information about bog gardening and design gardening for all kinds of types of specific gardening. She's a very, very good gardener and has a really great site, really deep archives. Another one that I like is called Chiots Run, chiotsrun.com. It's run by a young woman named Susie Morris, and she's an organic gardener. And if you need inspiration to be an organic vegetable gardener, that's a great website. She posts every single day, which is amazing, and has a lot of great inspiration as well as really good advice.
Mm.
For people who like pollinators, can I sneak one more in?
Oh, please.
For people who like pollinators, there's a Minnesota gardener named Rhonda Hayes who has a blog called The Garden Buzz. It starts with thegardenbuzz.com. Great website and great resource for people that want to grow plants to encourage pollinators. And she's also a columnist for Northern Gardener. So.
And your great blog resource is mynortherngarden.com.
.com.
And then, of course, northerngardener is .org.
Right. It's blog.northerngardener.org is the blog.
For those of you who love print magazines, I would make an awesome Christmas gift subscription for a gardener.
Yeah. The magazine is, you know, comes out every 2 months, and it's got some wonderful feature articles as well as a bunch of columnists who cover everything from edibles to plant health to design. So it's a good resource.
I really liked your corn gluten meal idea. You could think all day and not think that one up on your own.
Well, I didn't think it up. It's a product. It's a great product.
I just love the sharing of wisdom that gardeners Gardeners are like golfers. Like you're almost like persuading your friends to get into it.
Yeah. I try to be an evangelist for gardening because I think once people start to grow stuff, they really get excited about it. And the most interesting trend I've heard of recently is the one of the groups that gardening is really growing among, young men. Yeah. And that's great. That is just wonderful.
Books. Question number 4. Can you recommend one of your favorite gardening books for our listeners?
Well, I think if you want to be inspired to garden, find some of the good garden essay books. Michael Pollan, the guy who wrote Botany of Desire, he wrote a garden book before he wrote any of those other books that have been quite famous. It's called Second Nature, A Gardener's Education. And it's a book of essays about how he became a gardener. And it's a great read during the winter months. If you happen to be located in a lot warmer climate than I am, I also like a book called A Full Life in a Small Place by Janice Emily Bowers. She's a desert gardener. And even though, you know, my climate is a long way from a desert, that is a magnificent book about gardening in your location. And she has some wonderful descriptions of life in the desert and gardening in the desert. Again, a great winter read.
To our friends listening in California and Texas and Arizona and Utah, you know, that might make a, you know, they're learning about drought resistant and drought tolerant gardens in a big way.
Yeah, they are.
It's just unbelievable. Number 5 is a fun one. This is where you get to look into your crystal ball, or you can make a prediction or a recommendation. What's the number one thing you would encourage every new gardener to try to grow next season?
Well, I would encourage them to try to grow some kind of an herb because I just think they are great for pollinators and they're just wonderful to eat. And there's a lot of choices. You can grow oregano, mint, basil, parsley, all sorts of things. Grow some kind of an herb.
If I can recommend cilantro, I'll put the vote in for cilantro.
Oh, yes, cilantro. I would grow it, but my husband hates it.
Really?
So, oh, it's probably one of the few people, but I don't grow cilantro, but it's great, yes.
It's so fragile, too. It bolts so quick. And yeah. Well, my wife cooks a lot of salsa and homemade chili sauces and all that and can never get enough. Yeah. I have to look up, was it lemon verbena?
Lemon verbena. It's a very nice kind of foliage plant, and it does have a beautiful little flower. But if you take the leaves and you kind of steep them in sugar syrup or something like that, you get a really nice lemon flavor. Lemon balm is also a wonderful kind of a lemon. And some of them flavored or the mints, like there's a peppermint mint, and I couldn't find it this year. I grew it last year, but oh my, that's a wonderful addition to a drink.
Yes, good, good. Mary, our time is just flying by. I want everyone listening to go check you out on Twitter at Mary Shear. Follow you on your blog and share Mary's information. There's a lot of good stuff, and you know how social media works. The more you share, the more you care at mynortherngarden.com. Mary, you've been a brilliant guest. Lots of great data. I've actually taken half a page of notes.
Oh, wonderful.
And I'm going to put that up on the blog. I want to give you the last word to our listeners. Do you have either a pearl of wisdom or a note of encouragement for our listeners?
Well, the note of encouragement I'd give is to get out and try growing something and start in a way that is doable for you. So put a few pots out on your back porch or on a balcony if you're in an apartment. Grow something like basil or a small tomato. Start doing something to garden, and once you get started, you just won't stop. You're going to enjoy it so much.
To all our friends in zones 3 and 4, hang in there. Sunshine is coming soon, and have a great winter. And Mary, you've been absolutely fantastic. Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Do you love homegrown tomatoes? Free Report reveals the 5 dirt cheap tools I use to grow 22 types of heirloom tomatoes, including my secret soil booster. Download your copy instantly at www.backtomygarden.com/freereport.